Jeremiah chapter 6. And beginning verse 9. Let's hear the word of God. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean as a vine the remnant of Israel. As a grape gatherer, put your hand back into the branches. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. Heavenly Father, again, I ask your blessing on the word. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you'll illuminate the scripture to us. Open our hearts and our minds to receive it. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at the world around us, the conditions that are in it today, it's not impossible to wonder how far from God a man can fall. We see things in this world that I thought we'd probably never see, at least in public. And yet now, you almost think, what could be worse? But it seems like they always manage. There's always something worse that can come about. We hear and see the expressions of man in his depraved state every day. Well, Judah was there. Judah was there, and Jeremiah had reached out to the men of his own tribe, the tribe of Benjamin, to try, if he could, to spare them from the judgment to come. But they loved their wickedness. They loved their wickedness. And they caused it to replenish over and over. As we looked at last week, he said, so she wells up with her wickedness. As a fountain wells up with water, so she wells up with her wickedness. And we talked about how the well automatically is replenished by the springs underneath so that you have refreshing water always to get. Well, that's the way they were with their wickedness. They would use up some and they would replenish that wickedness over and over again. That is a horrible state of heart, a horrible state of being. And God would not tolerate that evil. But God would use evil men to carry out his chastening. God always does what God means to do. And God always uses the tools that he finds necessary to get the job done. Thus says the Lord, it says here. This is God who is speaking. These are God's words, and Jeremiah is telling the people, pay attention. You might be far away from the blessing of Almighty God, but he is still God, and he demands your attention. So he says, thus says the Lord. It's not me, Jeremiah, just saying some words to fill up some time. Thus says the Lord. Babylon would be sent to do a thorough job. They shall thoroughly glean as a vine the remnant of Israel. As a grape gatherer, put your hand back into the branches. At harvest time, the laborers would go out into the vineyards and get the grapes. There was wine to be made, and they needed the grapes. And they would send them out, and they would work, sometimes all day long, sometimes all day long for several days. Depending on how big the vineyard were, that gathering may take a week or so to do that. But they were to go out and gather every single grape they could find. Now, sometimes the laborers would go out and they would gather the grapes, but they wouldn't get them all. There'd still be some left behind. God had, in fact, given instruction to Israel back in Leviticus to not harvest the entire crop, to not glean it, to leave some of the grapes behind, some of the crops behind, for the poor. Now, oddly enough, this is a side note, no charge for this. Oddly enough, the poor had to go get it. They were required, the owner of the vineyard was required to leave some, but the poor had to go get it. It wasn't supposed to be gotten and taken to them and handed to them on a platter. They had to do something for it. It's not an abusive thing to ask somebody to do work for a reward, especially if that reward is, food, your means of continuing on. But, that was God's plan to take care of the poor, part of it anyway. But here, he's saying to Babylon, he's saying to the tool that he is using to bring discipline to Israel, he's saying, gather all the grapes. And then he says, don't just go one more time. He says, put your hand back into the branches. Make sure you didn't miss anything. Make sure you got every single one of those grapes. Of course, in this passage, it's not grapes that he speaks of. The grapes are representative of the people of Judah, the people in that region. And it says the whole vineyard was to be gleaned. They were supposed to go in and get all of them. That does not do violence to God's already made determination that he would keep a remnant. Because God's remnant would always be spared. God's remnant would always be kept safe. But the people of Judah had become so rebellious, so idolatrous, that they weren't supposed to overlook anybody when they went through. God's hand would keep those who he meant to keep. Now Jeremiah is to this point and further on as we go through the book, he's not mincing words with the people. He is opening his heart and he's trying to convince them to repentance, to try to bring them to a point where they can maybe avoid the judgment that's coming. But he says, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? This is a bit of frustration. Who am I going to warn? He's got a message from God that the people need to hear. But the people aren't interested. Haven't there been people in your own life that you've wanted to share an important message with, but they just didn't want to hear it? They just didn't want to hear it. They break your heart. They break your heart because you have truth that you want to share. You have a word that can free them from the bondage of the sin that they live in. But they don't want to be out of it. They don't want to be out of it. says they didn't want to hear. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? But they don't want to hear. It says their ear is uncircumcised. Their ears are blocked off from the truth. They don't want to hear any of that preaching. They don't want to hear any of that word that might cramp their style a little bit. Truth is, they can't hear. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in his second letter. He said, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. The natural man can't receive them. They're foolishness to him. He can't know them because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man, we're told, is dead in his trespasses and sins. He is not able on his own to hear. There needs to be the intercession of Almighty God. God needs to break a heart. God needs to open an ear. God needs to clear a mind to receive his word. In our dealings with men, we can only do what Jeremiah is doing. We can only speak the truth to them. We can only give them God's word. But that's all that's required of us. That's all that's required of us. God takes care of the rest. We see a soul suffering in their sin. However, that's manifested. We can tell them the truth. We can give them God's word. And God will bless that. He'll bless us in the giving of it. But his job, God's job, is to make the dead heart live. And he'll take care of that. Nevertheless, we still may be a little frustrated. Because when we endeavor to work with somebody, especially if we're working with somebody over a lengthy period of time, we would like to see progress. We would like to think that we're making an inroad, that something is happening. And when we don't see things according to our own measure, we get a little frustrated. Fact is that they're in a condition that they brought on themselves. But that doesn't help us. If we love somebody, we care about somebody, we want them to know the blessing of God. And we see them reject it. It's a little frustrating. When you walk in the light, see them walking in the darkness. You just want to give them a little light. And they say, I don't want to be bothered. They cannot heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. To reproach them. You know, one of the difficult things is when we are involved with people and we are genuinely concerned about their souls, genuinely concerned about their well-being, we pour out our heart to them and we have them rejected. That word falls on deaf ears. And sometimes they ignore you. Sometimes they respond in anger. Sometimes they respond in ridicule. It says the word to the people of Judah, the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. Not this is not just the word of Jeremiah that's getting them aggravated. This is the word of the Lord. And they have no delight in it. Again, the response might be one of anger, you know, where they, again, don't preach to me. Don't tell me your stuff. I'll find my own way. I'll be okay, whatever kind of a thing. But sometimes they become violent. Sometimes that violence is verbal only, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's actually physical violence that you get involved in. There is a spiritual response. That is the conflict of darkness and light, the repelling of each other. This is a spiritual reaction. It's not uncommon to the Christian. Certainly wasn't uncommon to Jesus. Jesus, back in John chapter 10, is doing some teaching, and in verse 27, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Now, isn't that good news? Isn't that comforting? Isn't that a word that is blessing? What happens? "Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him." There was a violent reaction to the word of God. They wanted to kill him for simply telling them the truth. It's never any fun to be in those situations. Of course, there's another side of the coin too, where they don't get violent, but they will get mocking. They'll engage in mockery. They'll engage in ridicule. And you know what? Nobody likes to be made fun of. It's just, it's thing about our nature. We like to be respected. You know, you may not disagree with me, but at least respect me. Well, that's not the nature of man. Nobody likes to be abused in that way. But that tool is one that has been effectively used by the evil one forever, because he knows how people will react. Do you know what happens if somebody mocks you, if somebody ridicules you? The likelihood is you're going to back off. And you'll think about it before you try again to present a word from God, because you don't want to be made fun of. In Acts chapter 2, we read on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit did a great work for the apostles and for many there. And the people who were opposed to Christ in that time, they're looking at this work of the Holy Spirit, and they begin to mock those men. They begin to ridicule these men. These men are drunk. They're not preaching the word of God. They're preaching some kind of gibberish. They're talking some kind of stuff. They've had too many sips at the wine bottle. It's not a fun thing young Jeremiah. Remember, Jeremiah is a young man when he's bringing this message to the people. You know, he's just like you and me. He doesn't like the opposition. He has a genuine love for the people. But he's doing what God called him to do. And whether angry or whether they ridicule, those hearing God's word have no delight in it. They despised the very thing that would help them. How many of you like to go to the doctor and get a shot? I don't. Had more than my share. Don't care for them. Think of better things to do. But the medicine always is designed to help you. To bring you along, to get you something better. Yeah, we don't like that. We take no delight in the process. But this is a different kind of a thing. And the psalmist wanted to emphasize that over and over again through the psalms. He said in the very first psalm, he said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, who doesn't stand in the way of sinners, who does not sit in the seat of the scoffer, but his delight is in the law of God. And in the law of the Lord does he meditate day and night." In the 37th Psalm, the fourth verse, he said, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart." In the 119th Psalm, 77th verse, he says, "Let thy tender mercies come unto me, that I may live. For thy law is my delight." God, help us to get to that place where we delight in the law of God, where we delight in God himself. And when we come to that point, nothing can hurt us in our minds, in our thinking. When our delight is in God, let the world do what the world does. It has no eternal effect on us. The people of Judah had no delight in the Lord because they loved wickedness. Back in 531, that's "The prophets prophesy falsely, the priests rule by their own power, and my people love to have it that way." God, help us that we may never find ourselves in that condition. Now, how easy is it sometimes to look at this and say, "Ah, Judah, you need to wake up." We read through this book and we might sympathize with Jeremiah because he can see plainly that he's doing God's work. We can see it. We can look at the Judeans and we can recognize their wickedness. It's easy for us to see the evil that God has recorded for us to look at. But how easy is it to see ourselves? We may not be the idolaters that the people of Judea were. We may not love wickedness, but do we still come short of the glory of God? Yeah, we do. But Again, Paul, writing the Second Corinthians, gives us this little exhortation. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. God gave us a gift, a great gift, a gift that's so great we can't even talk about it with words that are good enough. God gave us the gift of his son, Jesus. Our Lord and Savior, who does save his people from their sins. Jesus did that. Jesus and his Spirit sanctifies us while we live. So yeah, if we may come short of the glory of God, but we don't stay there, and we're quick to repent for that. We're quick to confess those sins. We're quick to be right with God because we enjoy fellowship with him. We want to stay in fellowship with him. We're not gonna kick back and say, you know, it's only a little thing. It doesn't matter. Because the slightest sin will injure us. We'll say, oh, we have offended the Almighty. We have looked at the work of Jesus and said, that's good for the big things, but we never want to find ourselves in that situation. And the Holy Spirit, God blesses us with that Spirit to convict us quickly and causes us to restore that fellowship. God gave us his Son to save us. He gives us his Spirit to walk with us daily, to aid us in this process that we call sanctification. And then one day, we will be glorified as he is. We'll have a body that is like his, and we will live in a kingdom that's his forever and ever. Judah couldn't hear this. Judah couldn't hear that word. Thank God if you can hear the word that it's his blessing to you. Never take that for granted. Always be thankful for that. Amen? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father,